on Thursday, December 15th at 8 p.m. at Dante's. Dante's is at 350 West Burnside Street in Portland. More information can be found on the KBOO website, kboo.fm, on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Buyer and Seller, produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs from November 25th through December 17th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. Buyer and Seller, the story of an underemployed Los Angeles actor who goes to work in Barbara Streisand's Malibu, California basement, allowing for delicious wit and commentary on the solitude of celebrity, the love-hate attraction between gay men and divas, and the melancholy that lurks beneath narcissism. Again, that's Buyer and Seller, November 25th through December 17th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information may be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, December 13th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, sanctuary radio at 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm on the web. Derek Crooks is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director, just want to say. And you might want to call the White House. Just pick a topic, pick anything, and raise your voice, 202-456-1113. Today's guest, Steve Horn, with the Smugglog investigative reporter, is back with us today. And we're going to be talking about some of the more alarming connections. It's always the deep structure of these appointments that should alarm those of you who might still be insisting that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were exactly the same, and that you, if either one were elected, that you would see pretty much the same thing. How's that working out for you? I just wanted to before we get into it, this is definitely Toto. I don't think we're in Kansas or even America anymore. And today I'm going to say a very strong word on the air, a word that is four letters long and begins with C. That letter, of course, is coup. There's a lot of talk of a general strike, and we are overusing the word fascist, but I do believe that the time has come to say the C word loud and strong. General strike won't work. If you don't believe me, take a look at the election results. The left is crippled by ego and a narcissistic notion that each individual's idea is the only viable option. And though very similar to the guy next door, it nonetheless is the clear winner. And that fragments people. The citizens have long since been reduced to consumers, but there is one thing that would work, and that would be restructuring our economy. We've talked a lot about public banking. Won't go into it now because we are fortunate enough to have Steve Horn with us from the Desmog blog. Good morning, Steve. Thank you again for being with us today. And I will have Steve on the air in just a second. First, the weather for today: freezing fog early on, sunny, and eventually a high near 35. We've got northeast winds 6 to 11, gusting up, possible to 17 miles per hour. Out in the gorge, about 30 miles an hour. That's not good news if you're working outside. And for tonight, pretty much the same as today, but colder, a lot colder. 27 is what we're looking at. And the same very, very windy conditions out there. Tomorrow, it seems that the skies are amping up the deal, and we are looking at possible snow on Thursday. But as for tomorrow, highs in the daytime, 34, breezy, nighttime, dropping down to around 26, and with similar wind conditions. And that's it for the weather. We'll be We got Steve Horn coming up in just a moment. So we now know that it is definite. Rex Tillerson is Trump's nominee for Secretary of State. Trump has dismissed concerns from both Republicans and Democrats that this guy might have a few too many connections. Certainly, he is Mr. Exxon. And the other issue too is that he might be Vladimir Putin's boy wonder. You think that these people reach these exalted positions, which and whatever else one might say about Rex Tillerson, he indeed has reached the exalted position in the oil industry and hence, of course, the world power structure. But he's easily been bent by Vladimir Putin. These people at the top are not smart. But Putin, Vladimir Putin, definitely is. And what has just happened and seems to be happening, and the domino effect all down the line as far as Trump and his balance of power, this is a coup. This is a coup. We are not, I do not believe there will be an election in 2020. This is all the earmarks for coup. And that said, we're going to speak now with Steve Horn. Good morning, Steve. Thanks so much for being patient with us. And should have... you're with us right now. I want to say thanks so much for the investigative reporting that you've been doing and that listeners have been looking at on the Smog blog.
Absolutely.
I also want to mention too that, well, as long as it's attributed properly and all that, please spread this around. The Dismog blog has information, has material that everyone should know about. Everyone should be able to follow the links provided and have that same eye-opening experience that I have on a regular basis. So let's talk about Donald Trump's cabinet full of climate science deniers. And let's get over to Rick Perry and the Dakota Access Pipeline. Could you...
Fresh announcement, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead with that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so Rick Perry, former governor of Texas, presidential candidate for the Republican Party for the 2012 and 2016 election cycles, was named today as Secretary of Energy of the United States by Donald Trump and his team. And Rick Perry is also on the board of directors of the owner of the Dakota Access Pipeline, that is Energy Transfer Partners. So he joined the board in early 2015, right as he announced that he was running for president for the Republican Party. That run didn't last super long. Mm-hmm. He dropped out in September. But one of his top donors and a person who was on his advisory committee for his campaign was the CEO of Energy Transfer Partners, Kelsey Warren. And so this is obviously a guy who is part of the Energy Transfer Partners team, both politically and on the corporate board. And so now he, if he gets the approval by Congress, will be helping make energy policy both in the United States and internationally because of the player that the United States is on the international level with energy. And so that's sort of what we're stuck with now is we have a guy who's on the record as a climate change denier several times, who's on the board of directors of a company that's trying to, you know, push through the Dakota Access Pipeline that's been protested for the past, you know, basically 2 years and really grown in the past half year at Standing Rock. He's on the very board of that company that owns the pipeline. He will now be the head of energy policymaking in the United States of America under the Trump administration.
So who's, you mentioned a player. Who's playing who? Rick Perry is not the brightest light on the old chandelier, is he? I mean, this is the guy, let's remember, that...
he didn't even remember the name.
The Energy Department, for God's
sake. 2011, yeah. He was at during one of the debates, ironically enough, he actually was talking about, if he was president, if he became president, what agencies he would get rid of. And he had three he wanted to name, but he couldn't remember the name of the Department of Energy. And now he's actually heading that agency. That's the real situation that we're in right now in the United States. That's the guy who's heading the Department of Energy.
So putting all of this together, all these appointments, and the horrifying event that Donald Trump's all of these go through.
Yeah, you mentioned one, right? Sorry to interrupt that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard you mention, that we have now the head of the State Department that was named under Trump, as you mentioned, was Rex Tillerson. So now we have two people who are at high levels of major oil companies who are heading up key agencies in the United States. Plus, going past those two, we have Scott Pruitt, who was named head of the EPA, United States Environmental Protection Agency. He basically has been a servant of the oil and gas industry in Oklahoma as the attorney general. In 2014, he actually ran unopposed and still got over $300,000 in campaign money from the energy industry as someone who was running against no one. That was about one-third of his campaign money, and he didn't even run against anyone. So what did he do after that? Well, he filed lawsuits as the attorney general against the Obama administration for methane regulations of oil and gas sites, of coal-fired power plants, for carbon regulation. So this is a guy who really sees himself as an opponent of the EPA. He's gone on the record to say so. Now he is heading the EPA. And, of course, all of this centers back to another guy named Harold Hamm, who was the key energy advisor of the Donald Trump campaign. Harold Hamm owns Continental Resources and founded it. And they are one of the biggest fracking companies in the United States. He's one of the richest people in the world. Multi-billionaire, and he, of course, Continental Resources is headquartered in Oklahoma. He is very close to Pruitt, and everyone that was picked for that team was probably run by Harold Hamm, or vetted by him one way or another. And so, on top of that, Scott Pruitt, one more thing about Pruitt that's interesting is that he was also vetted by another billionaire, the 26th richest man in the world. His name is Carl Icahn. Yeah. And there was, I wrote a story about that. And so, even though Donald Trump is, a very wealthy man himself, even he is ensuring that these people are vetted by other billionaires. So he's not, he's not quote unquote draining the swamp like he said. He is pretty much continuing business as usual with corporate and lobbying influence, if not worse, because now it's people who are, in the case of Rex Tillerson, for example, it's not just these people are our puppets. What I've been saying is now we actually have the masters who are running our government, not just the puppets who are being run by their masters. So that's sort of the grand picture here with this cabinet. You look at other positions, several people with ties to Goldman Sachs and other cabinet positions. This is the new government that's in place starting on January 20th.
It doesn't look very much like a government. It looks like a corporation, and instead of a cabinet, it looks like a board of directors.
One thing about, absolutely, and to close with about that is that Donald Trump, when he talked about draining the swamp, he wasn't talking about it the way that a lot of people may have thought about it. He actually talked about getting rid of quote-unquote political hacks, which he considered to be people who were just civil servants, people who have ties to government for a long time. That's what he considered draining the swamp and filling the swamp with the, you know, what you just described, CEOs, business people. He considers that the opposite of draining the swamp. I think most people consider that, you know, flooding the swamp, if not worse.
Well, yes, indeed. One final thought to for me. I wonder about who's playing Trump. I mean, he's not a smart guy. Anybody that we've got about 30 seconds. Who do you figure is playing Trump?
On these issues, the biggest player has got to be Harold Hamm. It's got to be Carl Icahn, as I mentioned. These two people have his ear. Carl Icahn actually interviewed 4 times Scott Pruitt. He had 4 interviews with him. He interviewed all the finalists for the EPA, head of the EPA. That should frighten anyone in the United States, is that we have the 26th richest man on the planet who is not the president of the United States. He interviewed the person who became the EPA 4 times before he decided and told Donald Trump that's the guy who should head our Environmental Protection Agency in a time where we are dealing with climate crisis, environmental crises, around clean water, around clean air, around the United States. That's who was picking our head of the EPA.
Steve, thank you so much for that. I really always appreciate your time.
And thank you. Appreciate it.
Direct our listeners' attention to the Smog Blog, where you can not only review all of this material, but the links have links, and that's what people should be taking a look at. We no longer. If you even call it an election, this was it. This was the last thing resembling an election the country's going to have. This has been a coup. There will not be an election in 2020. You will see. This has been a Cascadia for Tuesday, December 13th, 2016. Engineering Today for Janet Anderson, as we said before at the beginning of the show.